The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Yeah.
Alongside Batman and Robin or something like that.
That's right.
How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic. Got a good show lined up. Nick Whalen will join us from Prop Points, which follows us every day. Talk NBA Finals game number 4 tonight at Madison Square Garden. Paul Spohr on baseball. Will Hill, all of his bets, NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, and more. Toddy Wishnev will join us a little later on. Todd, you know what Todd wants to talk about more than anything?
What's Todd want to talk about?
Brendan Sorsby.
Hmm.
He, too, is outraged.
Hmm.
He's like, well, this is, I think what's...
It is very silly.
What stirred him up about this, by the way, Dallin Cuff will join us later, talk World Cup as well. World Cup tomorrow.
Let's go.
Pretty pumped for our Survivor
Me too.
Entries.
Me too.
Todd was watching PTI yesterday, pardon the interruption,
mm-hmm.
And apparently he thought Tony and Mike Wilbon missed the boat so badly on it.
Hmm.
That he's like, how can people not? He was outraged by their inability to understand what it was even about. So he wants to talk about that a little later on the show. Also, somebody went ahead, a gentleman at USA Today finally went ahead and like checked out some of Brendan Sorsby's Cincinnati games. He's like, yeah, did anybody look into these games? You know, kind of thing. So there's a couple results where you're like, oh, that happened. Now we don't know.
The problem is you could do that with like everybody.
Here's the thing, we don't know if those were shenanigans, but I guess that's the point.
Right.
We don't know
exactly, man,
if those are shenanigans. Last night, let's start there. We have ourselves a brand new series in the, I guess we never really had it. I mean, it's hockey, right? And this was classic first three games. Game 4 did not disappoint either.
Mm-hmm.
The Carolina Hurricanes beat the Vegas Golden Knights last night here at T-Mobile Arena 5-3. It's the only game in this series now where the margin was more than one goal. They do that, Carolina does, on the strength of an empty netter. But it was Carolina up 2-0 early, up 3-1 at the end of the first period. Vegas, in what has become typical fashion in this series, comes back from a multiple goal deficit. We've seen it both ways in this series. It's 3-3. We're in the third period, and you see this Shea Theodore behind the net, behind the Vegas goal. I guess what hockey fundamentals at that point tell you to sort of whip it around the boards. He just an awful turnover, awful turnover straight in front of the net, where Wes Jarvis got, he had the puck. He shot. It was bounced off of Hart. It was sort of, batted away. He corralled it back in the corner. And you could, I think the announcer said you could have taken a Vegas team picture there in the corner. And somehow Jarvis got it out to Ehlers, who then passed it over to Jordan Staal, who, while falling down to his right,
incredible man,
managed to backhanded flip it over. I think it actually touched Hart's glove, but got the biscuit into the basket, and that was the big one. 4-3 is what that one did, put the Hurricanes up. They held on to it again, the empty netter, for the final tally, 5-3. We go back to Carolina now, so you have the de facto best of three now, back on home ice, whatever that means, right, in this series or in the NHL playoffs in whole this year. But game 5 is tomorrow night, Kelly. There is not an extra night of cross-country travel. Game 5 is tomorrow night. I'm not really sure why the NHL decided to do it this way. And if your answer is, to avoid the NBA, it wouldn't have mattered had they just done the extra day of rest.
Right.
It would have still avoided the NBA. So game 5 is tomorrow night in Carolina. Game 6 will then be on Sunday back here at T-Mobile. And then game 7, if necessary, is Wednesday of next week.
That's interesting. So they are doing the extra day between game 6 and game 7.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But between 4 and 5, there is no extra day of cross-country travel.
I feel like the Stanley Cup final is always a more condensed schedule than the NBA finals, but maybe it's not as crazy as I thought.
No, you are correct.
Except for one game, really.
The NHL does like to get it over with quicker, that's for sure. NBA remains on the rest from here on out schedule, right? Tonight, game 4. Game 5 would then be Saturday. Game 6, if necessary, we're already in that, would be Tuesday. And then Game 7, if necessary, would be following Friday, week from this Friday.
Like, I don't get this. We
drag it out.
We complained all playoffs about the NBA setting that in stone early. Yeah. Hey, why are they such weird days? Like, we had over the weekend, it was Friday and then Monday instead of, like, a weekend day. Well, and then we're doing, like, Friday nights instead of Sundays.
2-2-1-1-1. That's what does it.
I mean, yeah, but, like, they already drag out, like, we're going to 1 day off in between games, 2 days off in between games. Like you're talking about with hockey, you could easily adjust this and just put this on better television days.
Well, so anyway, the anomaly is that there's no extra day of rest between game 4 and 5. So we head back to Carolina tomorrow night at the Lenovo Center, where the Hurricanes are a -145 favorite in game 5. Listen, this is just anecdotal. Just sort of observing my Golden Knights fan friends. They seem to have the air taken out of the proverbial balloon last night.
Bro!
Like, I think it kind of hit them. There was like, oh man, this team is really good.
So I've happened to be out for the past two games.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this yesterday. It was it was tense. In game 3, was that Carolina run, right? And things got close.
Total relief when they won that one.
Total relief, as we talked about. And then, yeah, last night I was out, it felt way emptier. It was like everybody was in the safety of their own home watching this game. They didn't want to be around.
So it wasn't just me.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
Yeah. Tonight, game 4 of the NBA Finals. Knicks lead the Spurs 2-1, of course. Knicks trying to extend that to the 3-1, not insurmountable, but the dominant 3-1 lead. Spurs trying to knot it up and do what the Hurricanes did last night in the NHL, which is get it back to a de facto best of three and back on home court. Knicks taking little money here, up from, I guess the open was 1.5 on the Knicks. Now we're seeing up to 2.5, even on the Knicks in this game, in game 4. Knicks backers seem very good. The market itself, we're showing 2 here at Circa. But there are some 2.5s out there. Knicks backers feeling very confident about this tonight for the bounce back for the Knicks after the Spurs won by 4 in game number 3. We didn't really, we're not really X's and O's necessarily first and foremost when it comes to this stuff. But you think about what were the adjustments in game 3 versus the first two games. Wemby wasn't on Cat as much on defense. Mm-hmm. That proved to be a good move. Although I will say this, Cat then didn't exploit the size advantage on offense nearly as much as he should have. I think he only took 4 shots when De'Aaron Fox had him checked one-on-one.
Has had a single point in either fourth quarter so far.
So there's that. And the biggest thing, right, the biggest thing also is the Spurs made a concerted effort with Jalen Brunson in game 3. And we talked about how Jalen Brunson had 32 points, but he had it on 25 shots. So again, people look at the box, oh my God, 32 points. Yeah, but 25 shots, they'll kind of take that. The Spurs will take that any game. But Jalen Brunson, the Spurs are basically daring him to be a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, okay, now you should pass the ball if you're doing this correctly. But Jalen Brunson doesn't seem to have that gear. So that's the biggest, to me, the Knicks' biggest adjustments into game 4 ought to be those two things, which is Towns, recognizing the matchup. Or maybe even adjusting before that but if they have that isolation again on where Towns is on a smaller guy, take more shots in the post.
And then
Brunson has the dish.
It's they got to get back to the dish. They reverted back to the Knicks team that we've seen for like the last 2 years in that last game. It was a lot of Brunson just dribble, 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 try to not guys moving. We've seen such excellent motion out of this offense, and a lot of it's being funneled through Karl Anthony Towns. A little bit of switch. These are always adjustments game to game, right? And you expect both of these teams that are such good defensive teams to mix up these looks that they're throwing at each other. But Karl Anthony Towns, we talked about it yesterday. I think this series likely comes down to who is more dominant, Wemby or Karl Anthony Towns. And that might have sounded ridiculous to say a month ago, but that's how good Cat has been. And not only elevated himself, but it elevates everybody else around him. We've seen such great performances from the wings. OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges. They got to get back to that tonight. I think that will be a point of emphasis from the Knicks. Gil, no bets for me, but I got a lot of leans, and Karl Anthony Towns overs would be one of them. I think looking at points, rebounds, assists, I would probably look at all three of those for him. I do expect we see that as something they go to right away.
Our buddy Carl Sack, who I never reveal his plays because he has subscribers who does that, but lest this be his last play of the year, he was on the Spurs in game three. Wasn't on them in the contest, by the way. Was very cagey in the contest. He took the Knicks because he needed to do that for win probability reasons, for game theory in the contest. But his handicap in game three was on the Spurs plus the points. Game four, he is on the Knicks.
Yeah, that's where
minus the 1.5 when he got it.
That's where I'd lean to for the side tonight. The problem is it won't ever be a bet for me. You've heard me more than anybody talk about this in on air, off air, on breaks with some of our guests. It's interesting to me and fascinating to me how everybody's adjusted the Knicks power ratings, but whether you're an odds maker or a bettor, this is a little too much for me. I think this game should be a little bit closer to a pick'em. So it would always be kind of Spurs, I think, is where the value in the number is. I think situationally, yes, you'd look at the Knicks, and I understand why there's going to be some love there. There is, I mean, look, it's 13 of 14 that they've won. They covered in 12 of those. And then the domination at home this season, 37 and 12 straight up, 33 and 16 against the number.
Stephon Castle, quote, "I expect us to win the next three," unquote.
Let's go.
Which is the confidence you've won from Stephon Castle, I suppose. We'll come back.
Oh, we're saying, like, me and you were loaded up with series bets. If I didn't have any series bets, I would still be staying off of this. Like, I think that's worth mentioning, but I do, and I'll just be rude, though.
There is no shame in, at this point, in both the NHL and the NBA finals.
Absolutely.
Not having a play on a side at either of these games. Either of these series. Coming back, more NBA. We got Will Hill coming up, Todd Wishnev, and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Championship season is here, and VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, 12 days from now, we will release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, this weekend, you know where I'm going? I'm going to a wedding in the Highlands, North Carolina.
Ooh, it's here.
It's here.
You've been excited for this.
Do you know what this requires?
Where are the Highlands in North Carolina? I feel like I've been a lot of places in North Carolina.
The very southwest corner of North Carolina.
Okay.
So you have to fly from Vegas to Charlotte.
Yep.
And from Charlotte to Asheville. Then I got to drive 2 hours to the Highlands. Coming to you, North Carolina.
Wait, hold on. I flew into Charlotte and drove to Asheville. So it's...
Yeah, I just take a little plane over there.
Okay.
Wish me luck.
Hey, good luck, man.
As I told
I did visit some family in that area.
Yeah.
This was like a couple years ago, and then a wedding in Asheville I went to. Oh my God, I felt like I was in the car forever. You know, we do that thing where we fly West Coast to East Coast, right? And you're like, all right, this is long travel. I enjoy the red eyes. I don't know about you, but I'm very fine having a couple cocktails. I put my head against the window and I just fall asleep for like 4 hours. I'm pretty good about that. But, like, it's a long travel. It's a hassle, right? And you're getting there early. There's nothing worse afterward than getting in a car for, like, 4 hours. It's like, great.
That's
because the airport wasn't enough.
Oh, now I get to drive 2 hours. Awesome.
Yeah, sweet.
We get tweets beating the book Sports Savant reacting to my story about my mom yesterday at the Sonics Bullets NBA Championship when they were warming up. He says, "Gilly, where are the Redskins?" No, the actual quote was, "Which side are the Redskins on?" Again, if I could have disappeared at that moment, I would have. Rich Copro, yesterday on VSiN, I heard you reference the elevation of the Las Vegas ballpark at 2,000 feet. Come on, guys. You've never been to Summerlin? It overlooks the city. Ballpark elevation in Summerlin, 3.041 feet. He's talking about 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich Copperger.
Yeah, you're right.
By the way, that game yesterday, they adjusted the total to 13. It ends up with a 12.
God bless betting.
7-5, Athletics beat the Brewers in Summerlin last night. That game looked like it was trending way over again early.
Yeah. Didn't they go like last few innings, right, where they didn't add a run?
And I was like 3-2 the second I looked up in the second inning. Meltzer, like Seltzer, he says, I'd ask Gil if he's emceeing the Tacos and Tequila Festival, but the answer is pretty obvious when you see who's performing. Meltzer's always giving me crap for that. Jason Stark, the great Jay Kahn hits the stall shots on goal prop just 13 minutes in last night.
Yeah.
I parlayed with Kane's money line to +250. That got home. Good on you, Jason Stark.
Let's go. I as well tailed that. Good job, Jake.
Steve the Proxy with a little creativity says, I wonder what the Super Bowl prop, will a team score three straight times? I wonder what that would pay in the NHL finals. It's a good call. Jay Kahn says, surprised they were giving us plus money for that stall play. Good on Jake coming in and nailing that yesterday. This is from, let's see.
Bro, the Highlands looks fancy. You're going to have a nice weekend.
Bro.
There's waterfalls, man.
Oh, lovely.
Waterfalls.
You think I'll even lay eyes on them?
Yeah, come in. There's not. I assume that every weekend you go for a picturesque hike around San Francisco.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
So I can really picture you in the beautiful forests of North Carolina going to check out some waterfalls.
Dude, I am in and out. Be back in Vegas Sunday afternoon.
What is this, Saturday wedding fly out?
Saturday wedding.
Sunday morning, yep.
God love them. Jimmy V, number 10. Jake, I've been out of pocket for a while. Is there anything exciting going on in the NHL this week? LOL. Talking to Jake directly. This is from, Sean Engel reacting to our Wimbledon thing from many weeks ago. If you're in Wimbledon Park by lunchtime early afternoon on the Sunday, you should get onto center court. Bring a tent, which they will store for you on Monday. If you want a ground pass, get there by 7 a.m. Monday to probably be in from the start of play. Good luck. Sean Engel, if you're headed towards Wimbledon later this month. There you go.
I will keep that in mind.
Actually, next month, but yeah, as well. Nemesis Enforcer. Oh, no, that was from yesterday. Dunk Tank Sports. Kudos to Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper, for sharing that he tracks monthly profits. Even a seasoned seismologist isn't immune to loss chasing when results aren't going your way. IDing when that may be occurring is part of the challenge. He thinks that was an awesome admission from Drew yesterday. No Emu Doug, Brooks Koepka's SI swimsuit wife, said that Travis Kelce is her hall pass. She had obviously not met more than a producer, Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, Jenna? I think that's her name.
Travis Kelce is her hall pass?
Yeah. Thank you for that tweet. I was intrigued by that part of it. I didn't need to be included. I was just like,
You wedged you in there.
Travis
and
Kelce,
then,
okay.
And he also had somehow Serena became her own partner, making winning comeback in doubles. Poor kid partner of Serena becomes invisible to the sports media. You're talking about Victoria Mboko. Serena Williams wins her debut doubles match with Mboko yesterday. They're already in the quarterfinals.
I did kind of think about that, too, where it was like Victoria Mboko, who is, what, a top 10 player? Top 15?
Top 15, I believe.
Top 15? I believe. I mean, like a rising star
in
women's tennis,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I did kind of think about that. I was watching this match yesterday. Like, they could not care less about Victoria Mboko playing tennis right now.
John Balducci, the drive from Charlotte to the Highlands through southern North Carolina is beautiful. Trust me, rent a car, do the drive. I will. And Patrick Kelly, Highlands is the country club and area around Asheville-ish for Atlanta weekend people.
Ooh.
Should be some prime viewing in the summer around a wedding.
Okay.
And the RGB said, Gil, the Highlands is absolutely beautiful. Oh, I don't doubt it. I just got to get there.
Yeah, I just checked it out.
Trust me, I don't doubt that at all. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a prop to run by you here. This one's going to take some guts to bet tonight. I don't think I'm going to get there, but I've been thinking about this for multiple games now. And this has been a thing going back to the Thunder series. Outside of that game one where we saw the monster performance from Victor Wembanyama, right? They've been throwing big bodies at him more than we kind of even expected, right? The centers, Isaiah Hartenstein, Karl Anthony Towns, and he's getting pushed out of the paint and he's struggling with rebounding numbers. So the rebounding prop for Victor Wembanyama was like 13.5 during the Thunder series. It is down to 11.5. He's gone under that number 7 in the last 8 games. And he only hit, and he went over, he hit 12 in game one against the Knicks. But it is, I am staring at his game log, and it's a lot of single-digit rebounding games. Interest you at all?
No.
That's like,
is the quick answer.
It's a trend I kind of believe in, but like I don't know that I could get to the window backing it.
It just wouldn't shock me to just, you know, if he had 13 rebounds, that would shock you.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there are some games in here. 8 last game, 9 game 2. You go back to that Thunder series, 7-6, 8-4. It's just, that quickly disappeared from what we saw earlier in the playoffs.
Jason H11, can't wait to hear Gilly on Monday complaining about the mosquitoes of North Carolina. And Ted G, Ted on 10 North Carolina, said, believe it or not, Steve Martin, Nicole Kidman, and Stephen King all have homes in the Highlands. If you have a second, grab a Highland garlic ale at the Ugly Dog Pub, a worthwhile stop. Man, I can't wait to be there.
Was that a garlic ale?
That's what he said.
Huh. I don't even know what that means.
Here's a look at June most wins, by the way, Major League Baseball. We are doing a baseball segment later on the show. We are going to go through the current adjusted season win totals in Major League Baseball, and we are going to compare them. I was going to use the word juxtapose, but I'll just go with compare.
I like it.
Compare them to the FanGraphs projections of where they believe teams will end up at the end of the year. We will then isolate the biggest differences, the
love
teams
it.
That represent the biggest differences between the actual market adjusted season win total and the FanGraphs projections, both to the good and to the bad. Both to the over and to the under, in other words. Currently, by the way, totally different market. I have done this monthly market thing in Major League Baseball. This is my, what is this, 6th, 12th? This is the 14th, no, for 15th month we've done this. We've won once. We've come perilously close several times. This might be my worst so far. Chicago Cubs, who have the cake schedule of all cake schedules, and they just cannot win baseball games. They are 2-5 out of the gates.
Mm.
Look at these leaders. The Tigers and Marlins, who I didn't even consider at any point, are both 6-1, followed by the Royals and Phillies, both at 6-2. Look at the Royals in there now, finally. Brewers are 6-3. Cardinals and Braves at 5-2. Dodgers and Mariners 5-3. Remember, at William Hill Caesars, dead heat for ties in most wins, circa. First tiebreaker is fewest losses. Second is run differential. By the way, the Tigers' run differential in that 6-1 is not +215.
Blowing out opponents. That's what jumped off the board to
kill. I mean,
they are 6-1 and destroying teams.
They have really been good here in the early going. I don't know if you guys have caught that. So anyway, that's where that stands right now. And again, the Cubbies just awful, by the way, here in the early going. Turns out everybody was right. I thought it would return to what they should be, or the projections of the early season would be, but it hasn't happened yet. 10 days or 9 days anyway through the month of June. We'll come back. Nick Whalen on the NBA Finals, what he thinks about game 4 between the Spurs and the Knicks. Oh, you think it's going to get rough tonight?
I think it could be entertaining.
A throwback to the 90s.
Yes.
We shall see. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight, and Polymarket lets you cash out before the final buzzer. Unlike traditional sportsbooks, where you're locked in until the game ends, you're in control of your position the entire time. Get started with a free $50 using promo code BUZZ. That's BUZZ at Polymarket. Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. We get tweets. Speed of the book. Matt Warrior 013. Lunch and or drinks on me if you fly into Charlotte, Gil. My bucket list includes telling Gil about my worst beats of the past 30 years. Matt, I would love to, but I got to get to the wedding. I don't have any time to lose. You imagine they're like, why were you late to our wedding? Matt, Warrior 13 was telling me about his bad beats back at the airport.
I had a great lunch at Chick-fil-A with Matt, Warrior 13. And yeah, he told me about his worst beats of the last 30 years.
Matt, trust me, I would love to hear about it. Bullet Godfrey's telling me it's not garlic ale, it's Gaelic ale. As is Ted G, who says, oops, Gaelic ale, he says. But it might be more fun to ask for garlic ale and see what happens. There is such a thing as garlic ale.
You guys got me really intrigued by garlic ale because I did Google it and it's a thing. But Gaelic ale does make more sense.
Paulie 68. Last night during the Brewers A's game, I witnessed a ABS challenge. And when they went to the challenge, nothing came up. It was announced by the ump there was a malfunction, and therefore they would stick with the call on the field of ball. What the hell? First for me. Yeah, if the technology doesn't work, that's their only default. That's what they have to go to. And Abigail also saying, not garlic. Thought I would help you. They gave several different beers that are amazing, though. Cheers. Not a beer drinker, fellas, but I would, if it was Kelly, well, he would really appreciate the Gaelic ale.
I mean, my ears perked up.
That kid loves it. So you were, let's bring in Nick Whalen. Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points, which follows us each and every day here on the network at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Jeff Erickson, our buddy, and Nick Whalen do Prop Points every day. Nick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Just substitute the L, just substitute the number one for the L. Still workshopping that, Nick? Is that still a work in progress?
Still a work in progress. Still, you know, openly crowdsourcing this. Usually after I come on with you guys, I get, you know, one or two tweets, people still telling me how terrible the Twitter handle is. So as always, I am open for ideas. You know, you can go on Twitter. You can see what's available. If you think there's something better out there, please, I'm begging you, let me know.
Your Twitter handle is great.
Yeah, I really didn't know this was such a thing until Matt Brown filled in of once course. And wouldn't shut up about it.
Bullied you.
Yeah,
bullied
he's kind of driving the bus on that.
Okay. Kelly, my buddy Kelly Bidlin right here, off air suggested, he says, you know, because we were talking about Wembanyama and the shove on Brunson. We do like this fact that Wembanyama seems to have this mean streak about him.
It's a little dirty. Yeah. I like it.
And I don't know, is tonight retribution game four? You see getting ugly tonight?
I would love that to be the case from an independent fan perspective, but I think New York is a little bit too smart to come out and try to target Victor Wembanyama. You know, I know there are theories out there that, you know, the NBA doesn't want him to accrue a certain number of flagrant points that could potentially lead to a suspension, whether it would have been a flagrant two that would have triggered that the other night, or even just putting him on the verge of, you know, something else happening throughout the series and risking him missing a game. But no, I think the Knicks are a team of mostly mature guys, right? It's like Brunson didn't even really retaliate after he was shoved to the ground. And we've had a little bit of pushing and shoving. I think it was in game two when Luke Kornet, you know, kind of trampled Josh Hart under the basket. But no, I think if anything, the Knicks just need to respond with equally physical play. And I think the Knicks will likely get in the ears of the officials, as we tend to see between games in these series. Mike Brown, of course, you know, did
already
his diatribe after game three. Yeah, and that I think that actually works maybe a little bit more than we think. You know, it comes off as just a coach complaining, but you got to get it out there, right? And, you know, I do think the Knicks got away with plenty of fouls as well. I'm thinking of one specifically. I think it was late in the second quarter where Stephon Castle got to the rim. It was right before a commercial, and they showed it again. And you could see OG Anunoby kind of rakes him across the wrist. He gets hit again on his way to the basket. So I don't think the Knicks have gotten a plus whistle in this series by any means, but I think as the game went along the other night, it did even out a little bit more. But obviously, you know, the Wembanyama shove is going to be the lightning rod play.
I had a Knicks fan friend talking about how they got hosed in game three. And I didn't lose it on it, but I was just like, dude, I literally can Google.
They missed 12 threes in a row.
I can literally, you win 13 games in a row, you're spectacular. Then one goes against you and it's like, oh my God, the refs cost it. And by the way, you can Google almost any game in the playoffs. NBA referees made three mistakes and Knicks win over Cavs. You know, game three against the Hawks, free throw discrepancy in favor of the Knicks. I don't hear Knicks fans bitching about those outcomes, right? So it happens. I think you're right about the whole, you know, get ahead of it with coaches, though. I do think, you know, as officials are human beings, that kind of complaint seeps into their head. It can't possibly not. And so maybe the whistle is more favorable for the Knicks tonight. Let's start with the side and the total. You are still alive for second place in the Killer Sports VSiN Challenge, Nick Whalen, last I looked. What are your thoughts on both the side and total? Do you have bets or do you just have leans on these two?
Yeah, more so leans. I mean, side especially has been difficult for me in this series. I do think, and I will have a play in the contest. I sat out game three, but we're going to jump back in tonight. I think I will take the New York Knicks, and I do lean toward the under. You know, the pace in this series has actually been quite a bit faster than I would have expected. It's faster than both of these teams have been playing so far in the postseason, but we're not necessarily seeing that lead to a ton of transition points. You know, the Spurs in particular were able to get out and run a bit in games one and two. That was not the case at all in game three, despite that pace number sitting about where it has for this series. And that's also with the Knicks committing as many just careless, ridiculous third grade level turnovers as I can remember in any finals game. I mean, the amount of just thrown away possessions that the Knicks had. This is another thing, Gil, if you want to blame the referees. How about the 9 or 10 possessions that the Knicks just literally threw away throughout this game? The first two possessions in the first quarter, the first two possessions out of halftime were just miscommunications, throwing the ball into the crowd. So I do think the Knicks probably cut down on the turnovers. Yes, that leads to more scoring opportunities in the half court. But, you know, series like this, when you have two really good defensive teams, you continue to make adjustments. The defense tends to get better and better as the series goes along. So I think we get another grind of a game, probably another close game. And I do think the New York Knicks could get a win here. I think they should have won game three. Again, if they don't start the fourth quarter, guys, going 0 of 12 from beyond the arc, their only two makes were those desperation threes by Anunoby and Brunson in the final minute. I think we're probably talking about a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, we also could be talking about a Spurs 2-1 lead, right? Like the Spurs had about 75 chances to blow that game open in game three, too, and they couldn't do it, right? So that's, and again, the Spurs have had double-digit leads in every single one of these games. We'll see if they can do it in game four as well. Okay, so how about the bets you're actually making, prop bets?
Yeah, let's see what we got on the card here for tonight, guys. We are going to go back to the well on something I've played each of the last two games. It's hit in each of the last two games. We're still getting a really good price on Victor Wembanyama over 1.5 steals. Now, this is down a little bit, plus 168 at DraftKings. We got it at plus 178 on Monday night, but you can still get this at plus 190 over at BetRivers. So shop around, find the best price. He's hit this in each of the last two games. It's hit in 5 of the last 7, dating back to the West Finals. He has at least one steal now in 10 straight. He's leading the finals in deflections per game, which is fairly predictive as far as how many steals you're going to come up with. Again, I expect the Knicks to make a point to not turn it over as much as they did last game. Easier said than done against the Spurs defense. So we'll keep riding that one at a nice plus money price. You know, I'm looking at the assists for De'Aaron Fox. I think that's going to be a really popular prop tonight. If you want value here, you basically have to take the over 6.5. I don't know if I could quite get there. I think it's an interesting one to discuss whether you'd rather play him or Castle. You know, Fox has the higher percentage of passes that have resulted in an assist in this series. He's had more assist chances than Castle, but the Spurs continue to just not convert the potential assist for Stephon Castle at nearly the rate you would expect. So I think at some point that does come around, but probably will end up on the over 6.5 for De'Aaron Fox. And then I like the over 2.5 threes for Devin Vassell at plus 118. You know, the Spurs went away from Stephon Castle down the stretch in game two. They went away from Julian Champagny down the stretch in game three. Mitch Johnson has a ton of trust in Devin Vassell. They love his shooting. They love his versatility on defense. He's hit 3 threes in each of the last two games. Did only have 4 attempts in game three, which is a little concerning, but he's taken at least 6 guys in 13 of the last 16 games, dating all the way back to the start of the Minnesota series.
Landry Shamet over 1.5 threes as well?
I think so. I think we got to grab the discount on this. I mean, Shamet was brutal. He was another one of the reasons that the Knicks did not win that game the other night. I think he was a minus 20 when he was on the court. He was bad on defense. He committed some terrible fouls. The one non-3-pointer that he took was just like a comical layup where he got blocked at the rim by Wembanyama. But he still got 7 3-pointers up, and most of those were pretty good looks. You know, we know he was, 21 of 31, I think, over his last 7 games heading into game one. So when he's out there for a reason. It's to get threes up. And, you know, this over 1.5 threes for Shamet, that was like around minus 150, minus 155 for game two, or excuse me, for game three. It's now minus 118 at FanDuel. So I will grab that at a much more reasonable price. If you want to look at the alt market, take the over 2.5. Maybe you do that, but over 1.5 to me feels like a good deal.
All right. Wembanyama over 1.5 steals, Vassell over 2.5 threes, and Shamet over 1.5 threes for the Knicks. You lean Knicks. You might pick them in the contest. Did I step on your lean on the total? Which way do you lean the total?
I lean under. I think the defense wins out again.
Okay. Nick, we look forward to prop points today. At Whalen, just substitute the L with the number 1. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Nick Whalen, everybody. Prop points, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. We'll come back. More baseball, the race to 10 this month, and the FanGraphs adjusted season win total.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic. Glorious downtown Las Vegas. You enjoy downtown Las Vegas when you're down here, Kelly?
I do enjoy.
Or you're just kind of in and out?
Well, we're here early in the morning. Yeah. It's an unfair question.
Can't really hang out.
Yeah. I enjoy it. Are you kidding me? Whenever anybody comes to town friend-wise, this is always one of their favorite nights out is Fremont Street.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Just the chaos outside.
It is chaotic.
Just the zoo and everybody's partying. It's fun.
We flashed up the June wins. Obviously, some folks betting on most wins in June in Major League Baseball. How about the race to 10 wins in June? Something you could bet on at DraftKings. By the way, good on books for having all these markets up. People love betting this stuff. So right now, again, we flashed up the standings. It is a scrum at 6 wins and at 5 wins in the month of June. There it is. Tigers, Marlins, 6-1. Royals, Phillies, Brewers, 6-2, 6-2, 6-3. For our purposes here, though, obviously the record itself doesn't matter, just the total number of wins. Cardinals, Braves, Dodgers, Mariners, all at 5 wins. So if you look at the odds now for the race to 10 with the Tigers, Marlins, Royals, and Phillies, and the Brewers in the catbird seat, it is the Royals, Kelly Bidley, who are the short shots at +370. Now then you ask yourself, who do they play? Well, they got 2 more games here at home against the Rangers. Go right into a 3-game set at home against the Astros this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If that doesn't get them there, it's at Washington with no days off. So the Royals by a tick are the short shot to get to 10 first. How about your Kansas City Royals +370?
That's incredible. How many wins the Dodgers have?
Dodgers have 5. Dodgers are 8-1, 1 win worse than the Royals. Would you like to know who the Dodgers play?
Yeah, what do they got?
Not that it matters, I guess, if it's the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
But still, I would like to know. 8-1's interesting.
Dodgers go at Pittsburgh to close out that 3-game set. Then it's 3 at the Chicago White Sox, the upstart Chicago White Sox.
Huh.
That would roll into a 3-game set at home at Chavez Ravine against the Rays. I think you just hit on something there, Kelly Bidley.
Right?
8-1. Sorry to call you Bidley twice. Kelly Bidlin. Just a tribute to Matt Brown mispronouncing your name at some point.
Yeah.
Dodgers at 8-1. I don't hate that bet at all.
Who the Phillies got?
Sorry,
I'm being that guy.
That's okay. Hey, I'm just here at your service. I mean, the Phillies, whatever you need.
Phillies over 9-1 stands out to me, too.
The Phillies.
I mean, I know this is a short runway we're talking about, but.
Phillies is a little more difficult.
Okay.
Phillies I wouldn't bet on because Phillies are at Toronto tonight. Then they have a day off tomorrow. The days off are the bugaboo here. Then they have a day off. Then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Milwaukee. And if it goes past their home set against the Miami Marlins,
do you see the?
I would not touch the Phillies here.
You see that White Sox rook last night?
Yes.
Braden Montgomery
with the walk-off, with the game winner.
Mm-hmm.
It was more than that though. Braden Montgomery in one fell swoop, first hit, first RBI, first home run, first walk off.
That's awesome. Fifth player since 1900 to hit a walk off homer in his MLB debut.
Why'd your head move at 1900? You hate that. Kelly hates that.
Yeah, I want to know.
What's your date that makes you
prohibition?
Happy?
Prohibition. That's where I cut it off. Anything after prohibition, I could deal with.
What do you know? Because alcohol's involved.
It sounds funny. I don't know. It just sounds funny.
Prohibition.
Yes, my head dropped because I read that stat. And I'm like, who in 1900 was keeping track of this? There had to be one guy.
You know what? There probably wasn't. There was probably like a buster only of that era.
Yeah, it was like medieval times. Some guy like in a tower by himself with just like books.
No, he wore a hat with a feather in it. And he'd talk like this.
That's right.
Why? Okay, so I don't know, the bet there to me, I'd probably take the flyer on the Dodgers at 8-1. I think you're right.
Yeah, man.
Not to say that they'll get there, but in terms of if you're making me make a bet in that market,
they're just one back?
Yeah, one win back. Yeah. Give them to me. I think Kelly Bidlin, you have isolated a fine wager.
I'm gonna
8-1 on the Dodgers.
Check out if the one book in town that would have this market up has it up.
William Hill Caesars?
Yeah.
I guarantee they don't.
Because you already looked?
No. Because that's just... Sorry, Eric Biggio. Eric Biggio, I could be wrong.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Wrong.
That was wrong of me.
Or, you know, if you want to post
maybe
it later today, we won't hate you.
Or Eric Biggio, you could take this horrible thing I just said and mock me with it later today. Okay, the other thing we wanted to do was, this actually started out as a segment. It's like, oh, what are your favorite adjusted season win total bets from here on out in Major League Baseball? And at some point, I was like, you know what? Let's take me out of this. Why don't we just go to the FanGraph projections? I'll comment on these. But the FanGraph projections vis-a-vis what the current adjusted season win totals are in Major League Baseball. So I went through, it wasn't all 30 teams because for some reason the Athletics weren't listed. So it was 29 teams in Major League Baseball. Here are the FanDuel win totals against the FanGraphs projections of where these teams will end up at the end of the year. And of those 29 teams, I isolated the 7 with the biggest difference. 3.5 game difference or more to the over or to the under. And these are the 7 teams that represent or that have the biggest difference between the FanDuel current adjusted season win totals and the current FanGraph projections. Now, we'll go through them one by one. The Braves' current adjusted season win total is 99.5. FanGraph says they're going to win 96. Now, the Braves, and we'll see the Dodgers later on, the Dodgers actually have the biggest difference of any team. The Dodgers' current season win total adjusted is 103.5.
Wow.
FanGraphs has them projected at 99. In both the Braves and the Dodgers' case, well, the Braves also have now a Ronald Acuna problem. They got to see the extent of an injury here with the hammy. So that's an interesting little late, you know, the latest sort of tidbit on the Braves. The Dodgers is the same thing it's always been, which is, okay, if you're going to crush your competition in the NL West, and this just in, they kind of are, are you incentivized to win just as many Major League Baseball games in the regular season as possible? And the answer is no, the Dodgers don't care about that. Dodgers just care about the playoffs and the World Series. So I completely understand why the FanGraphs projections for both the Braves, 3.5 games less, 3.5 wins less, if you will, in the FanGraphs projections than the adjusted season win total for the Braves, 4.5 wins fewer for the Dodgers in their FanGraph projections than is their current adjusted season win total. I get it for both of them. Now, some of these others are interesting. The Guardians, you know how I feel about the Guardians. I have a pre-flop season win total under on the Guardians. They are 5 games above 500 with a negative run differential. Doing that thing again. The Guardians' adjusted season win total is 85.5. FanGraph says, no, they're more like, yeah, Gilly might be right about this. 82 is where the Guardians are. And I agree with that directionally, right? I just don't think the Guardians are a very good baseball team. By the way, 82 would not get me quite to where I need to get, but directionally, I like it. The Rockies is sort of the opposite of the Braves and the Dodgers. The Rockies' adjusted season win total is 59.5. FanGraphs has them at 63. You got to be really bad at baseball to win fewer than 60 games. It's always been a tried and true thing. I know we've seen multiple examples of it where that has been the case, but the Rockies are playing based on expectations, really good baseball this year, not quite the dramatic turn of the White Sox, but FanGraphs says no, they're 3.5 games better, 3.5 wins better than their adjusted season win total that is currently. The more surprising ones are the next two to me. FanGraph says, you know, the Marlins season win total adjusted of 73.5. We got them at 77 wins. And we just mentioned the Marlins off to a 6-1 start here in the month of June. So FanGraph's buying into that start a little bit.
I mean, I know I was joking about it yesterday, but are they still just every year like a candidate to just trade?
Yes.
All their players.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
is any of that baked into a win total at all?
No, that's okay. The thing, right? We talked about that with Base Winner the other day too, like last week, where I said to him, I can't remember what we were talking about. Oh, the Giants. I think we were talking about the Giants season win total. And I was like, yeah, but your projections can't factor in who they're getting rid of. He goes, absolutely, they do not.
Yeah.
Same thing here with FanGraphs. So you do have that. I'm glad you brought that up. You do have to sort of factor that into the handicap as well. The one that was, so the Marlins are a little, the Brewers were the most surprising for me. Because their adjusted season win total is 95.5. The Brewers, to me, are one of the 3 or 4 best teams in baseball, conservatively. They only have them at 92. I thought that was and by the way, the under, most of these are, you know, there's juice associated with all these over-unders. None of them get, like, beyond the minus 120s either way, except for this one. The Brewers' under's minus 140, which I found that pretty surprising. So I don't know if I agree with that one.
That might be some under money coming in, and FanDuel just doesn't want to adjust it down a win.
I don't know. Padres, no surprise to many, adjusted FanDuel season win total 83.5. FanGraphs has them at 80. But those are the seven clubs that represent the biggest difference between adjusted season win total that exists today at Advocate Skirmish and where Fangraphs anyway has them projected. Anyway, food for thought when making or when considering your adjusted season win totals plays today in Major League Baseball. Always available to bet. And yes, consider what some of these clubs might do at the trade deadline. We'll come back. Will Hill will join us. All of his plays. A couple segments of Willie. NBA Finals, Major League Baseball, and beyond. Let's find out what beyond is next on A Numbers Game.